I feel like it's another layer of surrender that God is asking me to just embrace. And surrender is letting go of everything. It's hands up, hands open, saying, I have nothing to bring to you except for myself, but I'm here. Like I need to receive. And I think that in this world where we're supposed to be so self-sufficient and independent, but that's not what I see in scripture.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey friends, we are coming to you from home again. I imagine that's where most of you are too. And we are doing a special series called Conversations from Home, where we are revisiting things from books that we have written that are coming to mind again in these challenging times. So today we are going to talk about something from my book, Fierce Hearted, and it's a little manifesto that I wrote. So I'm going to read that to you. So it says, a fierce-hearted woman looks life in the face and says, you can't beat me. Knows love is risk, but reaches out anyway. Understands kindness, takes real courage, believes the impossible, fights like she's unstoppable, dares to find beauty in a ragged soul, scandalously picks warm over cool, tastes life as a brief, salty, sweet miracle, skins her knees, has scars that bear witness, defends like a warrior and weeps like a girl, makes gentle the new strong, small the new big, ordinary the new extraordinary. Sees wrinkles on a face as lines in a victory story. Never gives in, never gives up, never lets go. Chases Jesus with a tender, world-changing wildness. Lives in your neighborhood or not even on your continent. Looked back at you from the mirror this morning and is yet to fully see the forcer star-scattering, mountain-moving, water-walking God created her to be. So that is, we are going to talk through that today.
I love that. You know, before I ask the confession question, I think that right now is a perfect time to Zoom with girlfriends and your Bible study group or family members, and to pull a book like Fierce Hearted or Come With Me or Freedom or your favorite book, and to tie those in with questions like we're going to ask today. And today's confession question is this: what's a time you felt like giving up, but you didn't?
Well, of course, my mind goes immediately to the whole process of stepping out in ministry, deciding to write, launching a blog. When I started, my whole hope was to hide behind a computer and not let anybody know it was me. So I started blogging under like a different name, Messy Mosaic, and the whole thing was me hiding from what God was asking me to do. And so this was not a quick process for me, like writing and especially putting this word on paper and making sure it got into people's hands. So there was many, many times that I wanted to give up. And what's cool is I was thinking back to when Holly wrote this Fierce Hearted and watching the transformation in her. And I think that there's something like those 15 minutes of brave where you write something like the Fierce Hearted Manifesto and it just changes you. And so I saw that shift in her. And I think that God did the same thing in me in a different way. Just said, I know you want to give up. I wanted to run from this calling. I didn't want to do it. I still kind of don't want to do it, you know, at times, but I just am being obedient and brave. But yeah, I would say ministry is something that I want to give up on, but still just can't because it's just in my DNA.
Yeah, such a sweet calling. You know, my daughter, she'll sometimes say, Mom, you just like, you put it out there. Like you put it out there and that's vulnerable and I can never do that. And yet this week I listened to her speak. She is a professor and she looks the same age as her students, but she got up and she shared a message that God had laid on her heart and it went online and I was listening and I thought, you know, even in those times when you say, I don't want to put it out there. I'm not sure I want to put it out there. I could see people responding to that and say, man, I so needed to hear that today. You have no idea how much I needed that. And I think that is what sometimes is the scariest for us, is we're so focused on the fact that we're going to get out there and maybe fail or fall. And the Lord is totally seeing the person on the other side of that, who's not seeing failure or fall or anything. They're receiving exactly what they're praying for because you were obedient.
Yeah.
So what about you, Suze? When have you wanted to give up, but not?
Many times. You know? So many times. And I think that's really human of us, but I could say that there have been times as a parent that I have felt like a complete failure and wanted to just throw in the towel and say, man, somebody else could do this so much better. I absolutely resonate with Jennifer when she talks about ministry. Ministry is messy and it's hard. And I remember when I first started stepping out into ministry, and on the other side of that were some critics. And there were also people who loved me and guided me and taught me. But there were also those who were like, man, you know, what do you think you're doing? Like, you're not doing this well, or you're not doing this right, that word right. And I wanted to give up because nobody likes being told that what you're doing is not measuring up. So there's just too many. There's too many to share. But the feeling of it for me is that it's scary, and that I'm going to fall on my face, and that people are going to look at me and say, who do you think you are trying to do that? And yet the Lord has really not, I wish I could say nudged. It's not a nudge. It's a, you know, pushed me into that, saying, I know you. I know who you are. I know the plans I have for you. Don't you dare give up.
Right. I think it's really easy for us to talk ourselves out of things by saying, I am the least likely to speak to someone or talk to someone or be this brave person. And we disqualify ourselves time and time again. So I think that there's been a lot of times I've wanted to quit, but I didn't. But there's a lot of times I hid when I needed to have that fierce-hearted, brave moment come over me, and I hid instead. So I think we've all had moments where we've wanted to quit and just quit. And then we've had moments where we wanted to but didn't. But then we have a lot of delays. And so for me, that's what I've experienced a lot, is those personal delays where I've just been too fearful to just step into what God was asking me to do.
Yeah. Well, and Holly knows that Fierce Hearted is always going to be my favorite book of hers. after that is the children's book. I mean, I love it so much.
Yeah.
But Fierce Hearted, you know, you're sharing, you jump into this story with a time when you completely felt like giving up, right?
Yeah. I wrote that manifesto. When I read it, it sounds strong, but I wrote it from a place of absolute weakness. I went on this trip. I was going to see my publisher, and I'd been through a really hard season. I was exhausted and burned out. Someone I loved had just hurt me. And I was sitting on this plane in the dark, crying into one of those way too small napkins. They're not big enough for the ugly cry. So try not to cry on a plane, and probably scaring the poor person next to me. I kept expecting them to like push the stewardess button, you know, and be like, we have a situation. And I just told Jesus, I don't think I want to do this anymore. It's too hard. I keep getting hurt. I don't like having my heart open. I'm tired, you know? And I felt like he said, all right, if that's the choice you want to make, I will still love you. But if you want to learn a different way to do it, I will show you how. Yeah. And I pulled out my Kindle, because that's all I had with me, and opened the notes feature, which I think I had never used before, and typed with my little fingers in the dark, like snotty face, what I read to you. And so, yeah, I think that's why I love that piece, is because it reminds me that it's not the moments when we're strongest, where God can use us most. It's the moments when we say, I can't do this. And I think he's like, great, I'm glad you finally realized that.
Right.
Actually, you can't. No, but I can through you.
Yeah.
And so I think we tend to experience those moments as failure. But I think they're actually moments of faith, because it's when we get to the end of ourselves You know, when we finally quit trying to do it and stop believing that we can and get the help we need from God and others and say, then we do say, okay, I can't do this perfectly. I can't do it to the level of myself or others' expectations of me, but with Jesus, I really can do this. And that's what I did. I learned over the next few years, I went to counseling, got some healing for my depression and anxiety, changed the rhythm of my life, gathered supportive people around me, made a whole lot of changes. And here I am 5 years later, you know? So I think with everything going on in our world right now with COVID and everything else, I think we're all going to have moments where we're like, I can't do this. Yeah. You know, I can't homeschool my kids. I can't work from home. I can't make another trip to the grocery store and try not to breathe on anyone. You know, I can't do this. And that's okay. You know, that's okay to have those moments, but also to know that they're not going to last forever. Like what we're going through isn't going to last forever. And those moments don't last forever.
Yeah.
But there's no shame in having them. It's just part of being human.
Yeah. But don't you also think this is part of our story? Like if I ever read a book from someone and their life has been flawless, you know, like if somebody writes a book on helping a child go to sleep and their child came home from the hospital sleeping, like that has no merit for me to read that book. Or a book on marriage and they've never struggled in a marriage. And it's like, be like me, you know, and you too can have a perfect marriage. It's those people who say, I came to the point of giving up. I came to the point to where I was completely at the end of myself. And somehow God gave me the courage and the strength to keep on going with his help. And this is, and it's not a perfect ending. This is what he taught me. This is how I grew. This is what I learned. Those kind of stories and books rock my world. They do. Yeah. Because they're real, because that's real. Real life has those moments where you want to give up, and that doesn't make you less than, that makes you human.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even that story, you know, from the Old Testament where Elijah has a big showdown with all the prophets of Baal, and it's like this massive victory. And he goes in the desert and he's basically like, I'm done, you know, forget it. And God's like, take a nap and have some snacks. You know, he's not in trouble. I mean, because I think a lot of times, where that feeling comes from is just, we're tired, you know, we're just tired and we need some physical food or spiritual food or relational food, all of the above, and to take a good nap and try again. So I'm glad that we don't have a God who condemns us for those feelings. Yeah. He's like, I get it. You know, I lived on this earth. I know it's not easy. It's all right.
Yeah. Isn't the opposite, though, sometimes of the message that we hear?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that it feels like when Jesus said, you know, I want to give you rest. Come to me, you who are weary from labor or heavy laden. Labor was you were striving to do something. You're exhausted because you're trying to do this on your own. But heavy laden is those burdens that somebody else put on you. And he gave you two options on rest. You know, if it's you doing this to yourself, listen, I've got rest for you. But if somebody else has placed a burden on you, whether that is bad theology or that is guilt or condemnation that says, you know, you can't do this or you didn't do this the way I thought you should, that's heavy laden. And he offers rest from that too. So that gives me a lot of hope. Right. I remember that in those times.
Well, I feel like you just described what women wrestle with the most is we wear ourselves out from striving, or we're trying to measure up for this perfect idea that someone else has of us, you know, of how we're supposed to be. And so, Holly, like, what's going to help us be fierce-hearted in a season where we're kind of stuck at home? Like a lot of us, you know, we can feel stuck emotionally and spiritually, but we are literally stuck, you know? And this is like crazy. We've never been here. We've never experienced this. So what's going to help women right now be okay with it, with being stuck and still be fierce-hearted.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing is realizing that the key to being fierce-hearted is vulnerability. It feels like a word that's saying get your armor on, but it's actually the opposite. It's put your armor down and let your heart be open. And that is scary. You know, I think the reason we strive and we try so hard is because it makes us feel less vulnerable.
Right.
If I can have it all together, if I can be in control, if I can get the gold stars, then I'm not as afraid. But if I sit on a plane in the dark and say, I can't do this, that takes a lot of vulnerability. And then go to my publisher and say, I'm struggling, and to my close friends and say, I'm going back to counseling. You know, like that is a whole different level of brave.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I learned through this process, that courage is not about being invincible. It's about acknowledging that we're not. And that's what being fierce-hearted really means.
Yeah, you said something really fascinating to me in this first chapter, because that's where you're pulling this from, of fierce-hearted. And you said that one of the things that was leading you towards giving up is that you were hurt and you were angry. And there's that scripture that we hear that don't let the sun go down, you know, on your wrath. And you looked at that scripture and you saw it in a different way, which was instead of, you know, putting a timeline on, like, I can only feel this for a certain number of hours, then I got to let it go. You saw it as, don't let this lead you into a dark place.
Yeah. I think we tend to read that, you know, don't let the sun go down when you're angry, and think, okay, physical sun in the sky going down at night. But sometimes, I don't know, as a trained counselor, the wisest thing you can do is to let yourself calm down. You know, sometimes you need some sleep and time to reflect. And so what I think that really is about is not letting our anger turn into bitterness and hardness, you know, not letting that inner darkness sort of take over that relationship or situation, or, because I think we've all at least stood on the brink of that, to know, like, I could really give into the darkness in this situation, and to say, I'm not going to let the sun go down on this. But if I need some time and some space, even if that means I'm trapped at home so I can only just go to the bathroom and lock myself in there for a while, that's okay, you know, because I think that's part of being fierce-hearted too, is to again, not choose, as we've talked about a lot recently, to be either in that fight, be aggressive, or flight, run away, but to say, all right, I'm going to be intentional about my responses. I'm going to take care of the hearts of the people around me, but I'm going to take care of my own heart too. And that all of that is important.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I think about is when we feel like giving up, we can feel like that we've already given up. And I think understanding that feeling like giving up and giving up are two different things. You know, to give ourselves grace in that moment and to say, I do feel like giving up. Like being a mom right now, that was a hard day.
Yeah.
or being in a relationship with somebody I love, and we have the uncertainty of finances or what tomorrow holds, and it's creating friction between us. I feel like giving up right now. That feeling like giving up is not giving up. It's admitting that there is something there that needs attention, and it's valid. And instead of turning towards condemnation towards yourself, turning toward the real thing, the real fight that's going on, and look at that maybe in a different light. I just want to take, like, for that person out there who felt like giving up yesterday and today she's beating herself up. Yeah. I just want her to know we all feel like giving up from time to time. And but she didn't, which means she's a survivor and she's courageous and she's brave. And I want to replace all those words.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the whole thing that keeps running through my mind of how I'm handling this and how I am you know, processing these moments where I want to give up and quit everything. I mean, like, now would be a perfect time to do it. Who would know? You know, I feel like it's another layer of surrender that God is asking me to just embrace. And surrender is letting go of everything. It's hands up, hands open, saying, I have nothing to bring to you except for myself, but I'm here. Like, I need to receive. And I think that in this world where we're supposed to be so self-sufficient and independent, but that's not what I see in scripture. We need God. He created us. We need him. And I think that in this season, that is a huge question mark, that we really need to be okay with being needy and come before him and say, I am needy and I'm broken and I'm scared, but I'm going to surrender everything to you. Because I know that you are good and that you have ordered every single step that I'm going to take and that I've already taken. So that's kind of where I'm at, is just in a beautiful wrecked surrender. And I think that that is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah. Do you think that what is happening in this season right now, the fierce hearted that I'm seeing coming out in women, they're standing shoulder to shoulder with each other. The other day I was trying to order some things off of Amazon. I have to do some certain exercises before I do my next surgery, and they're only sending essential items. So my little hand weights, they didn't care about, nor should they. But I put it out on just social media and I said, hey, does anybody have any hand weights laying around? I had like hand weights coming out of the wazoo. Somebody brought me the big ball that you could do exercises on, and I got different hand weights. And this morning, I delivered butter to someone, and she gave me apples. And it's just like, you know, we're leaving stuff on each other's doorsteps. I think that that is a fierce-hearted trait that is coming out of this really cruddy time. Yeah. I pray we don't lose that.
I think so too. I think part of being fierce-hearted is that we fight on behalf of each other.
Yeah.
You know? And that's something that to me has been a huge relief in all this, is all the negative, divisive, I'm going after you because you don't believe like I do. All of that has gotten so much quieter. And instead everyone said, oh yeah, that's right, we're all human. Like, let's get through this together. And so, like you said, I hope that lasts. I hope we remember that it is so much more helpful to fight for each other than against each other.
Yeah. Jennifer, has anybody been fighting for you during this time?
Oh, yes. I feel like everybody's been fighting for me, but it's even bigger than that. It's that I'm fighting for them and that we need to be needed. Someone needs you to bring, like, we feel so fulfilled and taking people butter. You know, it's just, you know, for me, it was taking someone something that they needed. I hate asking for help, but we needed eggs because my daughter wanted to make cookies. And so if we walked to the neighbor's house and asked for eggs, it's just, it feels like a stripping back. It's not Little House on the Prairie, but it's like really close to where
I borrowed sugar. Yes.
We need neighborhood needs to look a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so I think that some of us are meeting neighbors for the very first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredibly sad, but here we are. We're busy, you know, distracted, but now we have things that we need and we're not afraid to ask for them. And we are not hoarding. We are giving. If I've got eggs, you can have them, you know, like you can have all of them, like whatever you need. So I think that there's a beautiful thing in that we're all trying to be helpful. Maybe it's not fighting for each other, but we're trying to be helpers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's one great practical step. We can say, what's a simple need I can meet today, you know, for someone in my own house or for a neighbor or something I see on Facebook. So as we think about practical steps in a time where practical things look very different, what else do you think we can do that is just one small thing?
So I saw a friend do this, and I'm going to copy her. Her name is Dawn. And Dawn put a picture on social media, and she had put a chair in her front yard, and about 8 feet away, she put another chair. And she said, I need to talk to someone. Maybe you do too. And she said, just text me and there's a chair waiting for you and we'll both have masks, but we're going to chat. And I just thought, it's brilliant. That's brilliant. You know, it's so simple. And so think about a need that you're experiencing right now in your own life. Then find someone else who has that same need and connect with them, socially distancing, of course, in some way. So I personally, these blue walls that you see are closing in on me so tight. And so I'm gonna copy my friend Dawn, and I'm gonna put two or three chairs out in my front yard at a socially acceptable distance, maybe further. I'm gonna put a mask in each one, and I'm just gonna say, if you want to talk, so do I. You know, send me a text, we'll set up a time, and that's one thing that you can do.
Yeah. And I think too, sometimes the opposite, like go take a nap. You know?
Yeah.
So I listened to this podcast by Brené Brown, and she talked about how in stress, we are all either tend to be over-functioners or under-functioners. Mm-hmm. And over-functioners go into super helper, over-responsible mode, do all the things. And under-functioners tend to tell themselves, I can't do this. And so they just sort of withdraw and disappear. And so I think first recognizing which of those do I tend toward, because we all do one. And then I'd say for us over functioners, do all the helpful things, but also know it's okay to take a break from that. Like yesterday, I decided to say, you know what? I am overdoing out of fear and a need to prove my worth, because so much of what I usually do to prove my worth, I can't do right now. And so I'm going to go on the patio and lay on my couch and read a novel at 2 p.m. And that's what I did. And for me, that was an act of faith, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think do both, like set out the chair or whatever, FaceTime, send the text, make the connection, but also say, I'm going to do one thing today that feels a little bit wasteful, just to make sure I'm not putting my identity too much in that, you know? And I'm speaking to myself. I have no idea if anyone else ever deals with this, but for me, this is a very real thing. The more stressed I am, the more I do.
Yes.
So sometimes I need to say the most spiritual thing I can do right now is nothing.
So. You have a lot of humans in the house that you're in. And so you're all in there together and you love these humans. But I mean, what is one thing that you do with all that you have going on? Because you're juggling a lot of different roles right now.
Yeah. So right now I'm homeschooling two teenagers. Not easy. But I have my husband who's an extreme extrovert. So I'm like what Holly said, the overachiever, the overdoer. I have made meals from scratch. I'm baking. I'm doing all that. I don't even know who I am anymore. No, I've painted my cabinets. Listen to what I've done. Painted my cabinets in my both bathrooms and my kitchen. I mean, and baked bread. Like, it's ridiculous. So I think that I had one of those meltdowns on Monday where I was like, this is just hard. And I feel like I'm working overtime to keep everybody happy. And I'm not happy. And so my husband said, I'm going to be home at 4 o'clock. And I said, yes. And I'm going to leave immediately. And he was like, okay. You know? And I was like, and I'll see you when I see it. So what I did is I ended up going and just finding a place that I love takeout. I just had some me time. I went for a walk and it was the best thing that I could have done. So I think my one thing is take care of yourself, pay attention when you start to be snappy or, you know, want to yell at someone. You're going to yell at people. That's fine. I've got a lot of people in my house, but I apologize and then I take care of myself, you know, after I've done all the things. So I think pulling back and saying, I need to run away from home for a little bit, or I need to lock myself in this room and take a hot bath, like whatever we need to do that recharges us or makes us the self-care things that we need to do. So that's my advice, is just do what you need to do for your heart.
Yeah. And then that empowers us to keep loving and serving well too, long term.
And I love the title of this episode is Unexpectedly Fierce-Hearted. So I want you to know that you are more fierce-hearted than you can even imagine. You know, God sees it, and most likely those around you see it too. But I'm praying that this season that can beat us down and scare us and make us feel so out of control, that at the same time that you'll see that you are a fierce-hearted, courageous, amazing creation of God, and you matter. You absolutely matter.
Yes. And what's next, Jennifer?
Yes, next week is Battle Cry.
Yes. So Fierce Hearted obviously is the book we're talking about today. And we will also have a free download to go with that of the manifesto that I read for you. So you can get that in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group or through the show notes on KaylorC.com. But we will have that for you so you can print it, mail it, stick it to your bathroom mirror, whatever you need to do. So keep being fierce hearted, friends.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.